Our sermon text this morning is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Galatians 5, 1 through 15. Now hear the word of the Lord. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. We put our trust in you, O Yahweh. You are in your holy temple in heaven. We pray that you would look down, behold, and test the sons of Adam. Test your righteous ones. Come and judge, O Lord. Rain coals, fire, brimstone, and burning wind on the wicked. Put them under your feet. Put them to death and raise them to new life in your Son Jesus. For you are righteous. Lord, love your righteous ones and behold the upright in heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are Jesus and love. Jesus and love. Keep a count of Jesus and love, and I'll give you a count at the end of the service. Young people, your words are circumcision and infralapsarianism. Keep a count. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are pivotal times in life where we try to help those who are close to us. Perhaps a parent to a child, perhaps two close friends. We provide counsel on a decision to be made, an important decision, or perhaps an activity that's being practiced by someone close to us. This could be a friend making a significant life decision, perhaps whom to marry, where to go to college, what career to choose. This could be a sinful activity a friend is deciding to take, perhaps living with a significant other before marriage or practicing sinful sexuality. We might even counsel one on something as grievous as renouncing the faith. And in this relationship, you implore this person not to make the bad decision. Instead, do the right and faithful and wise thing. You know the right decision, and you make your case to them again and again. Out of love and concern for the loved one's well-being, you pray and you plead. You cannot believe they're doing this. They know the right thing to do. How can they even consider this? Well, this is a situation for the Apostle Paul. He has preached the gospel to the Galatian churches. He has preached forgiveness and deliverance in Jesus Christ. And he has heard that the Galatian churches have been infiltrated by bad teaching, by bad influence. And they are making a disastrous decision to depart from the true gospel to a false gospel of Jesus plus Torah, Jesus plus the law for salvation. Now in Galatians, for the previous four chapters, we have read Paul make a strong case, a sound theological case, about the gospel, what God has done through history. He's gone all the way back to Abraham, bringing the gospel promise from Abraham to the first century in the advent of the Son of God. And the redemption and deliverance is available to all man. It is found exclusively in Jesus Christ. And Paul exhorts the Galatians to look forward in hope, to stay in the faith, to trust God, and to trust what he has taught them. So Paul, from a distance, you can imagine his frustration. These are people he has seen come to faith. And now he hears they are considering departing from that faith that he has taught them. He writes to them, "You've received me well." Both Paul as a person and Paul in his teaching. Paul expressed his love for them as Christians. And now this leader of the church, from a distance, to see his beloved brethren make such an unwise, such a faithless decision. Have you ever felt this way about a loved one? To be almost helpless in their making an unwise decision. Paul, as a church leader, he feels this for the whole body, all these churches in Galatia. He says, "I have explained the significance of the gospel. I've explained the dangers of this decision. Don't do this," is Paul's message. And he makes that appeal again in chapter 5. His message is, don't forsake Jesus for Torah. And for first century Christians who are being pressured to submit to Torah, to submit to circumcision, this is real life application. This is real bearing on their lives and their relationships with family and friends. What kind of faith will they live? What kind of relationships will they have? Will they live their faith through Torah observance, or will they live in the freedom of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit? Paul's message to the Galatians is Christians are no longer slaves. We are free in Christ. We're no longer held in bondage to the stoicheia of the old order, those elementary religious structures. Christians live in Christian liberty. And for the Galatians or any Christian to submit to required circumcision re-enslaves. It re-enslaves you out of that liberty you have in Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not speaking of the practice of circumcision for hygienic purposes. This is circumcision as mandated in religion. For Paul, his message is Torah observance is binding for all the commandments. And the grace of the commandments is separated from Jesus Christ. For a Christian to do this separates them from Jesus Christ. So in love, Paul warned the Galatians that they are falling away. This is the loving threat of a church leader for the churches to repent. Do not cut yourselves off. For we in Christ, we do not inherit the promises by union with Torah. The promises are for the free in Christ. The promises are for sons, inheritance, not slaves. And brothers and sisters, the same is true for today. God's promises to you find their amen in Jesus, those of you who are united to Him. But if you make those disastrous decisions, if our loved ones do not take heed and they enslave themselves in sin, they enslave themselves in false religions and idolatry, they won't inherit the promises. Slavery is a real threat today. It was not just a first century issue. Slavery today is also for Christians to fall away, to be cut off. And that danger is for us and for our loved ones. The promises in Christ include the pledge of the Holy Spirit, who is the seal and the gift of the new creation. The Spirit was there in the beginning forming creation, and the Spirit renews the new creation. The Holy Spirit dwells within the people of God. And brothers and sisters, we are the new humanity. We inherit God's promises of the new world. Boys and girls, when were those promises made to you? Hint, you already saw one this morning. Those promises were made to you in your baptism. Many of you probably don't remember your baptism, but they're still good. They're still true because they find their yes and their amen in Jesus. And in your baptism, you've been promised the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is God's promise that you're no longer in the old. You're no longer in the old order. You're no longer enslaved. The old creation, slavery to sin and the devil. You're no longer in Adam. No, the Spirit who dwells in you testifies that you are free. Your cry of Abba, Father means you are free in Christ. This should empower you in your faith. This should embolden you. Give you great confidence about where you stand. As Christians, you are sons in Jesus, you are mature in Him, and you have the privilege of the Holy Spirit to advise your loved ones faithfully. As the new humanity, we have complete confidence about the future, and we can speak to that confidence in those relationships. The turmoil of the world, the strain of our relationships, the doubt, they still grieve us. But we look forward. We are optimistic because of what Jesus has accomplished, what God has promised, and what that means for the whole world. And that's why Paul can say in verse 5, we, in the Spirit, in faith, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. We are in the Spirit, we are in the faith, and we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. The Galatians in the first century, in persecution, in the end of the age in AD 70, they had this hope. So Paul points them forward in this hope. And we have that same hope today in Jesus Christ. We have hope in the future consummation of the kingdom of God on earth. We dwell within God, the God who rules over the world. And we look forward with optimism. We are not held captive to the mercy of the day-to-day changes in the world. The Galatian divisions of our day, both outside the fleshly divisions of the world, and the Galatian divisions in the church. People clinging to old order fleshly alliances. the world in bondage to sin and digging into those alliances, we live in the hope of righteousness by the power of the Spirit. We look forward. We believe God's promises and we obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Spirit will grant us perseverance through those trials, through the turmoil. And we can pray this for our loved ones in those challenging situations. The adult child making a life-changing decision, a friend submitting to sin or questioning his faith. We pray for the Spirit's blessing of perseverance that our loved one would receive that perseverance by faith. It's in Christ, and we pray they would receive it by faith. So like Paul, our love for the brethren is expressed through fervent prayer and striving with them in patience and love. Paul's ministry was expressed through pleas, through faithful teaching, and for long suffering in the struggles in Galatia, considering Torah, circumcision, in fact, all-out abandonment of Jesus Christ. Paul endured, and he persisted in teaching them. And within the body, he had opponents who falsely accused him. They brought a bad influence to the Galatian churches. And this was to their own judgment. Paul exhorted the Galatians with confidence that they would recognize this bad influence and return to Christ, that they would not cut themselves off. They would not emasculate themselves from the body, but that the leaders would. And the leaders would stop leading the flock astray by pressuring and persecuting. Paul's exhortation to the body not to follow those abandoning the faith. Instead, he encouraged the body to love. He pointed them to faith working through love, over the divisive issue of circumcision. For first century Christians, bearing that old covenant sign shouldn't matter. What matters is your love. It's your faith working through love. And that is real faith. Faith is not making a one-time decision and living lawlessly the rest of your life. Faith is not praying a prayer and treating your neighbor like garbage the rest of your life. A living and active faith is not simply mental assent or a decision. It is a continual believing. It is a continual working in the love of God. And in an ironic play on the issue of the day, Paul used the law to exhort the Galatians. Boys and girls, in your sermon text this morning, did you see the law? Did you see what Paul cited from the law? Galatians 5:14. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's from the law. That's from Torah. In fact, your homework for tonight is to find where in the law Paul got that verse. Young people, that's your homework. Where in the law is "you shall love your neighbor as yourself"? If your Bible is good, there's a citation there. Paul says to the Galatians, you want to obey the law? Love your neighbor. Don't lead them to destruction. Love your neighbor, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But don't love for Torah's sake, even though Torah is fulfilled in love. Don't do it for Torah's sake. Do it because of Jesus, the Word who has become flesh. Our obedience is loving Jesus. We testify that we are His disciples if we love one another. Because of the issues in Galatia, the false leaders were hurting the body, not loving, persecuting, pressuring, leading to destruction. Paul warns, don't follow those guys who want to cut you off from Christ. Don't follow their leadership. Don't harm your brothers and sisters. Love because we are in the Spirit. We are in the new. And the Spirit is the bond of our relationships. The Spirit is the divine love between the Father and the Son. And in our love, we are in God. When we love one another, the Spirit is effecting that relationship. Parents, when you lovingly exhort your children to do the right thing, the Spirit is working through your faithfulness. And faithfulness is loving in the right direction. It's not blind love. It's not lawlessness. It's faithfulness in the right direction. Young people, when you faithfully endure and you patiently strive with your friends in their unwise decisions, perhaps even in their sinful decisions, the Spirit is working through your loving reproof. And in the body, brothers and sisters, when we encourage and we rebuke toward faithfulness and wisdom, we are living in the freedom of the love of Christ. We are living freely, not in bondage. We can actually do what Jesus calls us to do. We are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And God is loving each other through us. Our relationships are not held together in the flesh. We are knit together by the Spirit. We are free to love. We are free from sin. And we're united to Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. We are the new humanity, washed clean, in the Spirit, remaking the world. This is who you are, brethren. The new humanity, remaking the world, in the Spirit, in the love of Christ. The world outside of Christ is still in bondage. Our brothers and sisters who are faithless and immature are in danger of that bondage. That's why we are exhorting them, calling them back to Christ. Calling them back to faithfulness and wisdom. And the lies of the world, that some of our friends, some of our loved ones are submitting to, those lies are unto bondage. This is how God made me. I'm going to live into that. I'm going to live into myself. I need self-realization. We need to pursue human flourishing. Apart from Christ, those are fleshly. They enslave us and they lead to destruction. Christians, kids, young people, old people, church, you are in Christ. He is your identity. You are baptized. Do not forget the forgiveness you received by the Father in the Son. Don't forsake your deliverance from fleshly bondage by departing Christ. By cutting yourself off. This was Paul's warning. Out of love, live in the freedom of Christ. That was Paul's warning, out of love, live in the freedom of Christ. Because of Christ, we are free to serve. We are free to serve others inside and outside the body. And we have eternal security in Him, complete confidence about the future. So, brothers and sisters, stand fast in the love of Christ. Strive with your loved ones, with patience and long-suffering. God loves us through our love for one another. And through this, the Spirit brings His people. The Spirit brings the church forward in history. For we are in the love of God on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.